Man, sure is good to be in the house of the Lord. Sure do thank God for the good week we've already had. Thank you for the good presence I've already felt in my heart. I'm thankful for even the service tonight, the good presence I feel in my heart. I'm glad that I've heard said in my lifetime this ain't a feeling way, but I sure am glad I've got a salvation that I can feel. They say salvation ain't about feeling. It ain't about feeling. I thank God I can feel it this evening. I thank God that the night He saved me, I felt it, and I felt it every day since then. You ain't going to convince me this ain't a feeling way. I know a lot of people get caught up in emotions, but I sure am thankful. I'd be awful weary about something that I couldn't feel in my heart. It's given me joy and peace, and it's been the best thing that has ever happened to me. I sure thank God for a salvation that I can feel. Thank God He's been good to us, ain't He? We've been blessed beyond measure. There's not a person in here who could tell me that they're not blessed. There's not a person in here who could tell me God hasn't been good to you, because you would be nothing but a liar, because God has been good to every one of you just by giving you the privilege to be here tonight. God's been good to you. He showed grace upon you. I wonder, God's just holding me back just for a few minutes. I wonder if anybody's got anything on your heart. You make sure that you mind the Lord. That's what we're here for. You ain't going to bother me at all if you want to testify or obey God. Make sure you do that before I read Scripture. Amen, brother.
Thank God I've been washed, I've been known.
Yes, sir.
I know I'm saved. I know where I got saved. I know who I was. And I'm glad my life changed. And God saved my soul. He
That's right.
Some old things I've done.
Amen.
I took them away. I don't want to do them anymore. Thank God I want to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
To hear the preaching of the Word of God.
Yeah.
There's
Amen.
Nothing like an old-fashioned preacher preaching the Word of God and standing on that book and just expounding it and giving out the Word. And that Word can just save somebody's soul.
Yes.
Just save their life and make them whole.
Yeah.
Thank God for what He done for me.
Yes.
August 15th, 1976.
Yes.
That's when I missed the line that Jesus Christ come down and saved my soul.
Yes.
Thank God.
Amen.
My last will been that same blood can save anybody.
Yeah.
The same people years ago that is still standing there.
I don't want to bring any shame on His name, and I
appreciate the Lord loves you and saves you.
Amen. Amen.
I want to thank you for saving me.
Amen.
I'm glad, thank God, tonight that all the preaching that I've heard this week, that's my kind of preaching.
Yeah.
And I thank God that God still gives me the strength together in the house of God to hear the preaching that I've heard this week.
Amen.
Now, I know that I've been around for many years, I know that. And the preaching that I heard whenever I come to know the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Oliver Green, the preacher. But I couldn't find a way to make the altar call because there was something working in me that I didn't know anything about. But you know, I'm so glad, thank God, that I've learned a lot about it.
Yes, right.
Because I know that who I'm going to have no doubt whatsoever.
Amen.
Because that He lives inside of me. And I'm glad that the devil can't get it out. That I know who I'm going.
Amen.
And I tell you the honest truth, a lot of times I get homesick.
Amen.
I get tired and I get homesick, but I appreciate every night that I go to bed and He wakes me the next morning.
Yes.
Right.
Gives me the strength to get out of the bed. And a lot of times I go to bed of the night and I lay there flat on my back and I pray for the men of God that I've heard preach. And a lot of people might say, "Oh, Brother Robert, you act like you're stupid." I'm glad I am. Because I can't tell you how good God is to me, but I'm glad that I can go to bed a long time and I can lay there and I can talk to the Father and the tears comes down.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Because I'm always real.
Amen.
And I know I realize that a lot of times I go through a lot of pain.
Yes.
I have a lot of pain tonight, but you know what? God helped me get here.
Yes.
You know why? Because I want to hear the preaching that I want this to hear. And I want you men to know that I really enjoy the preaching that you men preach. If that's my kind of preaching, and I would not change for no man.
Right.
And no woman either. And really, I thank God for the men that stand and preach the book.
Yes, sir.
Just like that, and sitting right over there, I told him that I probably wouldn't hear him tonight. I'll probably hear him tomorrow night. But I really do. I love the preaching that you guys preach. Don't never change. Don't change from nobody. Because that's my kind of preaching. I want you to know that. And I love you, men. And I appreciate you. And I lay flat on my back and I pray for you. Because I know somebody that I can talk to further. I'm glad because He's at the ear.
Amen.
I thank God for it.
Amen.
And that pastor of mine right there, I've been with him for 20 years or better. And I love him with all of my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
And I stick with him through thick and thin.
That's right.
I pray him all the way.
Amen. I ask y'all please pray for us tonight. God would help us. It's something. God gave me just a small fault last night before service started. I told Brother Jeremy, said I wrestled all day long this day in my life. Asked me, she gave me those eyes, and she said, "Would you care if I went to Marshall's and went shopping a little while?" And I said, "No, that'd be just fine." And she took his eye, and I said, "I need some time alone anyway." I lay down in the bed, and I read, and I cried, and I prayed. And I just really, really, Joel didn't have anything on my heart. And I told my wife when she got back, I said, "Honey, I said, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I said, I sure hope Brother Joel asks Brother Jeremy to preach first, because I ain't got nothing to preach." And she said, "Well, maybe the Lord's just going to give us a good service." And He gave us both a good service and let Jeremy preach. And I told her last time I went home, I'm thankful that God knew what He was doing. And He just gave me a small fault, and I wrestled with it all day because it kind of goes along with some of the same lines Brother Jeremy preached last night. But I think that'll be all right if it's what God's want.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. And I know beyond any shadow of doubt, I prayed all day and said, Lord, if it's not what you want, give me something else. And Lord, just kept on impressing this upon me, and I can't get away from it, so I'm going to try my best to leave it with you the way God's laid it with me in Luke chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17. Very familiar. God's just been, for the past couple weeks, directing me towards this scripture that kind of breaks my heart a little bit when I read this and I think about it. And I think about how this is exactly where we are today. And I will read verse number 11. It says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Where there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I know this is very familiar, and God has impressed this upon me. And if God would help me for just a few minutes, and I may not be very long, I want to preach kind of along the thought of what Jesus asked him and said, but where are the 9? Where are the 9? God impressed this upon my heart, and I've been thinking a lot lately, and I've heard some testimonies, and I wrestled with God, and I told him, I said, Lord, are you sure this is what you had me to preach? God gave us such a good service last night, but I know it's what God laid upon my heart. And I want to say before we get started, this is a good picture of some lost people that are walking. This disease called leprosy was a disease unto death, just like sin. Every man was born in this world chafing in iniquity. Every man was born in sin. He's lost and dying and going to hell without a Savior. And without the mercy of God, he will die and go to hell. And without being cleansed and without being made whole, without the faith that these men had to turn when he said, God didn't just heal them on the spot. God said to them, Go show thyself unto the priest. And as they went, they were made whole. But what I want to focus on is this one that came back and praised God and gave glory and honor to him. But we see the other 9. They keep going, and they go unto the priest and show it, and never even return unto God. And I said, Lord, are we not like that in the day and time that we once lived here? Brother Robert, I thought while you was testifying, I thought, Lord, he's probably seen some services in his day and time that we may never see again in the house of God. People worshiping and praising God. And I thought, I wonder why we're in the shape we're in. Because mom and daddies will go to their prayer place and pray, and God will answer their prayer, and we will neglect to go back and praise God and thank Him and be thankful for the blessings that God's given us. I believe that is one of the biggest reasons that people fail in the day and time we live, is forgetting and neglecting to praise God. Two of the biggest faults in a Christian's life is his prayer life and his praise life of praising and worshiping God. And I thought, and I looked it up to make sure, the word worship in some definitions is a compound word consisting of two words, worth and shift. And what that means is, what's he worth to you? That's what worship is. It's telling God what he's worth to you. And what is God worth to you tonight? I wonder, where are the 9? I talked to my wife last night, and we talked, and it seems like in the day and time we live, people are so, and Brother Jeremy hit it so well last night, we're so full of pride and so full and so worried about what somebody is going to think about us, that we won't stand up and thank God for being good to us when we have no idea what it'll do for us to praise God.
I thought this morning, and I know this may sound comical, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I grew up in a family that believed in whoopings. My mom and daddy wore us kids out. There were four of us, and my sisters didn't get half the whoopings that me and my brother got. And I thought this morning the worst whoopings I ever got was at the house of God. I'll never forget at Holly Springs Baptist Church. Me and my brother were roughhousing, and my mom had told us to stop, and she took us to the bathroom three times, Brother Tamri, but finally that third time, she had an old purse there, and she unstrapped the straps on that purse and took us back yonder and wore us out with that leather purse strap. And I said, no more will I wrestle in church this morning. Hey, the worst whoopings I ever got. And then I thought, even so, after that, after God saved me and I come to the house of God and I don't worship Him and praise Him like I should, hey, that's the worst whoopings I've ever got from God, is when I've left the house of God and felt like a dog because I didn't worship Him. Hey, it turns consequences to failing on God. Where are the nine? I thought this morning while I was reading, you have no idea the effect it'll have on the people around you. You don't know. Hey, sometimes Brother Milby says all the time about fellowship, and it means two brothers are in the same boat. Sometimes the brother needs to see that you're in the same boat he's in. Sometimes he needs to know how you've been through the same valleys he's walked through, and you can help him. And sometimes we walk in, and I want to say something. Sometimes the man of God comes in the house of God dry, and you need something from God. And sometimes when you obey God, it'll help your man of God more than you know. We look at the preacher sometimes like they're this robot. They never suffer. They never suffer trials. They never suffer persecution. They never have hard times. I want to tell you something. That man over there is just as much a man as any of you men here are. And he goes through some of the same things that you go through. And sometimes he comes to the house of God, and Brother Shane and Brother Danny will come to church sometimes, and they can be downtrodden. They can be upset, and they can be in a valley and be discouraged. And what they need is to hear God's people stand to their feet and thank God for being good to them and for saving their souls. Had a man tell me one time, he said, Brother Caleb, God called me to preach when I was 15. He dealt with me at an even younger age than that, and I finally surrendered to Him when I was 15. And I had a man come to me just shortly after that. We were talking, and I was talking about how good it feels to worship and praise God. And he said, Brother Caleb, I don't have nothing to praise Him for. And just as a young man, it broke my heart, and I stepped back. I said, what are you talking about? He said, I have no reason to praise God. He said, I've lost my wife, and I've lost my kids. He said, my kids go to a liberal church, and they don't want to have nothing to do with me, and they don't want to have nothing to do with my church. He said, my wife's done dead and gone. He said, I've been through nothing but valleys and heartaches. He said, I have nothing to thank God for. And the Holy Ghost just moved all over me, and I looked at him. I said, brother, have you ever been born again? He said, why, sure I have. I said, please tell me about it. And he got to talking about a 14-year-old boy sitting on the second pew, and God coming where he was, and opening his blinded eyes. A tear started rolling off his face. He stepped back and looked at me. He said, Brother Caleb, I think I got something to praise God for. I said, brother, if that's all, the only good thing ever happened to you in your life, you have something to thank God for and praise Him for. We're so discouraged all the time, and I'm not getting honest. I've been there. I've been in those valleys. I've been in those hard times. I know what it's like. But I want to be like Paul, and even in the valley, I can sing in the prison house, and God will visit with me, and God will get me out of my trouble. But I thought, we all go through, but I thought, you know, God's people should be the happiest people you've ever seen in your entire life. But we're so full of the mully grubs, and we want to complain all the time and gripe about this and gripe about that. I'm almost sick and tired of seeing God's people with their heads hanging down. I know it can be hard, but I serve a God that walks with me, and I serve a God that helps me along the journey. And we need to lift up our voices and praise God for being good to us. God's been good to us. There's not a person, me and my wife sung that song, oh Lord, you've been good, and God's been good to every one of you here. I thought about just a little while ago while we were sitting over there, the song that Brother Jason Bright and his wife sang last night, the song talking about, oh, how sweet it is to have a Savior, and oh, how sweet it is to know that He's mine. Brother, I don't know if all of you know this, but my wife is the one that wrote that song, and we gave it to Brother Jason and him and let him sing it. And when my wife wrote that song, Brother Joel, I was going through a valley, and I was going through a storm that I most of y'all know, and I'll go ahead and tell you I was going to steer clear of it, but me and my wife were dating when I was 18, and I'd been preaching for a while, and I had some things going on in my life. I could have went either direction. I could have left the house of God, or I could have stuck with the stuff. And so finally, I'll never forget, I said to myself, me and my brother were playing baseball, and it was just, everything was going good. I had people looking at us, wanting me to play college for them, and I thought, man, this is the life. And I played ball one Friday night, and I said, this is it. I can go make all kinds of money and take care of my family. And me and my wife would talk about it, and we were just dating at the time, and Rachel would say, are you sure? That's what God wants. And I never even one time prayed about it. I just thought it'd be good. I can be famous, and I can make money, and I can do all this stuff. And then so finally we went to church the following Sunday, and I got in there, and I was sitting there, and I was dressed in a suit and tie, and I kind of had in my heart that Brother Ken was going to ask me to preach that morning. And I got in there and had a little thought on my heart, and my pastor come and grabbed me by the arm. He said, Brother Caleb, I want you to preach in the Sunday school hour. He said, and then I'll preach after you. I said, okay, Brother Ken. Brother Joel, I got up and preached, and God got to helping me, and I got down in front of the pulpit, and God got to moving all over me, and I caught myself right about here clapping my hands and praising God. And I said in my heart, this is it. I don't want to go nowhere else. I want to stick with God. No matter what I face, I want to have God in my life, because it'll be worth it in the end. And then it wasn't a month later, I was headed home, and I had some friends wanting me to meet up with them. I had a baseball game that night. We were still in baseball season. I was headed home, and it started raining, and I was coming down a hill. And when I went to go around the curve, I hit my brakes, and my truck it started to slow down, but I couldn't turn it. I had the wheel turned as far as I could. It just kept sliding straight on through the curve. And a man on a motorcycle was trying to get out of the rain, and I wound up hitting him head on. And still, as I tell you right now, that man's face is going by my mind, Brother Joel. And I was going through a storm and facing a valley, and I killed me on the inside, Brother Joel. I would go home, and I'd lay down in the bed. I couldn't eat anything. I lost almost 40 pounds after that happened, because everything I'd eat, I'd throw it up. And I got in depression and got so upset and hurt. And I thought I was a dying, and I didn't even have the drive or the care to even live anymore. And then my wife wrote that song, and she sang it, Brother Joel. And when it got down in the chorus, it said, oh, how sweet it is to have a Savior. Hey, that does something in my heart. I said, no matter what I go through, I've got a Savior who walks with me and will help me along the journey. I thank God for it, Brother Joel. And I'll never forget, I was laying in my bed one night, weeping and crying and facing this. And I thought, Lord, I don't even want to live anymore. I just want to roll over and die. And I heard somebody come walking down the steps, and I thought, I wonder who that is. I'm just going to roll over and act like I'm asleep. And we were living in my grandparents' house at the time, and my grandpa came down, and he cracked open my door, and he looked inside, and I was acting like I was asleep. And I heard him start sniffling on the other side of the door, and I heard him say, oh God, you're going to have to help my baby. He's going through a storm, and he's going through something only you can help him with. And I rolled over, tears rolling off my face, and I said, oh God, you got to help me. I can't get through this alone. And God gave me peace in my heart, and I've been the happiest man because I've got a Savior that walks with me. And I thank God for it. Where are the nine? Where are you at? When's the last time that you stood up and gave praise to God and worshiped Him and thanked Him? I used to struggle, and I used to have problems. Brother Joel, when God first called me to preach, I was on such a fire for Him. I didn't care what people thought about me. When I got up, I'd run the aisles, and I'd shout, and I'd leap over pews if God wanted me to. I didn't care. But the older I got, the more prideful I got. And I thought, I don't want to embarrass myself. When I start crying, my voice gets a little high-pitched. And I thought, I grew up at home. It just ain't manly to cry. You don't cry unless you're in so much pain you can't hardly stand it. Only time I ever seen my daddy cry was when he had a loved one pass away or when he was in the house of God. That was it. My daddy, I've seen him in some extremely, extremely painful situations, and he would never shed a tear. And he would teach us, if he ever seen us cry over something, he'd say, that belongs over in baseball if we ever got our feelings hurt. And started crying, he'd say, that belongs on A field. And that's where all the girls played softball. He said, men don't cry, boys. And I was raised that way. It just wasn't right. But there's something about when I get in the house of God and God gets some moving on me. I just can't help it. And I went in one day and I was so prideful, and my wife looked at me and she said, Caleb, I'm worried about you. I said, what's the matter? She said, I ain't heard you testify in a while, and I ain't heard you do this in a while. And I said, well, honey, I'm afraid that people are going to make fun of me. And so I snuck off in my garage and I apologized to God for being so prideful. I said, Lord, you deserve how to be praised and worshiped. And I came in the house and I was weeping and crying. I grabbed a hold of my wife. I said, honey, God, just give me a good dose of don't care. I don't care what people think about me. I want to praise God. I thought this morning, don't God deserve to hear our praise? You know, He loves it when we praise Him and worship Him. Hey, Brother Shank, He died upon an old rugged cross for us. He faced a beating beyond compare. Does He not deserve to hear us? I'm thanking Him and praising Him. Where are the nine? I told my wife the other day, I said, I've been going to a church now, to Savoy, and I've been a member there for about 3 years now. It's been 3 years. And I've been going there. We started dating 4 years ago, and I lived here in North Carolina. She lived in Kentucky. Every other weekend, I'd drive up and see her, and I'd spend the weekend with her family, and I'd go to church with them. I said, in 4 years, there's people in that church. I've never one time heard them stand up and thank God for saving them. I've never one time heard them stand and praise God. You know, that bothers me in my heart when somebody will not praise God. They say they're saved. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face and they'll say, oh no, I'm okay. But they refuse to praise God. They show nothing. When God's moving, that bothers me. When God saved me, even as a 9-year-old boy, I wanted to bounce to my feet and thank Him for being good to me. It does something. It changes you and makes you want to praise God. If it's not big enough in your heart to praise Him, I got serious doubts about it. God took you. I know salvation ain't about escaping hell. It's about giving your all to God and becoming His. But escaping hell's the benefit of getting saved. And that ought to be something. If nothing else, you ought to praise God. We sing a song that says, not one hair upon my head. I will into that place go. We got something to praise God about. And I thought, I've heard a bunch of you say about the preaching y'all heard this week, and I thank God. God's helped Brother Jeremy, and God helped Brother Logan Sunday, and I really felt like God was helping me Sunday to preach. And I thought, you know, back in the old days, if you'd read in the 1800s and stuff, some of these songs we've been singing this week and some of the messages we've heard, they would have shouted the house down. Oh, where the preacher, you couldn't even hardly hear it. But we've got so prideful, and we've gotten such a way, and you know, I'm about sick and tired of hearing about what it was like in the old days. Oh, we can still have it today. Oh, we can still have God today. And we can still have the power of God. And we can still praise Him today. Young people, I want to say something. I'm only 22. I'm not very old. Some of you here are close to my age. And some of you older ones, I'm not discrediting y'all at all. But a lot of preachers want to harp on the young people about you never testify, you never do this, you never do that. And I think in my heart sometimes, well, if some of the older ones would teach them how, maybe they would know how, and maybe they would be a little more acceptable, and it'd be easier for them if they would see some of the older ones. We're supposed to be an example to the younger. Ain't that what He teaches? But you young people, listen to me. Even if mom and daddy never testify, if you've been born again, you have a right to praise God and to worship Him. And you are to get a hold of God. Hey, God used a last little lunch to feed 5,000 people. God can use you to feed this church and to help the man of God. You need to praise God. I don't care. I don't care if you're a woman or a boy or a child. Sometimes women get nervous to testify and think, well, they're just going to shut me down. Hey, you have just as much right to praise God for saving your wretched soul as anyone else in here does. You need to praise God. That's what He said. Said in the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 150 is all about praising God. In everything, He said, let everything that hath breath Praise ye the Lord.
That's right.
We need to praise God. Where are the nine? Where are you? When's the last time you testified? I've heard preachers maybe say it before. He said, I'd be ashamed and I'd check up on myself if I don't testify at least 3 times a month. Hey, that hits me real hard.
Yeah.
If God don't move on me and ask me to testify. Sometimes, Brother Jeremy, we get what they call preacher syndrome and we think, well, we're going to preach. Hey, I don't think I ought to testify. They hear me enough. There's been many times, Brother Joel, my dad pastored for about 16 years. We'd get in there and before Sunday school ever get started, Daddy'd lift his feet and say, I want to tell y'all something. God saved this old boy one time and God brought me out of a place and God set my feet on a rock. Hey, it'll happen. Help you if you'll testify and reach God. It'll help the people around you, even as just a little child. I remember looking at those older people and saying, I want to be like so-and-so. And I want to be like so-and-so. My dad, I told y'all Sunday about hearing my mom shout for the first time. And I thought, that's what I want. I want a family, that wife that'll shout. What happened to the mamas that used to shout? What happened to the daddies that would shout? And I'll never forget the first time, Brother Joel, I got to hear my wife shout. Hey, it was a blessing to me to hear my wife praising God. Not long, Brother Jeremy, for the day I get to hear it again. I love it. Me and you were there at New Freedom when my wife testified. I love to hear her testify above anybody else. It does something to me, Brother Joel, to see my family praising God. I want them two little girls sitting back yonder. I just see mom and daddy praising God and worshiping Him above all else. That's what I've seen. I've seen my family. We weren't the richest people in the world. And we'd gather around with 4 kids and mom and dad. And a lot of me and my brother are big hunters. We hunt just about everything you can think of. And most of the time the meat that was on the table was from something that me and him had killed. And if we didn't kill something and have it in the freezer, a lot of times we didn't have meat on the table. We just have vegetables and such. And I'll never forget, there'd been many times, and I was little, and I never recognized it when I was little, but Mom would fix just a little bowl of pintos or a bowl of green beans that she had canned and kept over for us to eat during the winter, and Daddy'd get in there and he'd say, kids, I want you to gather around the table. Oh, we're going to thank God for the meal that He's brought us. And Daddy'd bow over that table and he'd get to praying, and something get to moving on him. He'd start weeping and crying over the kitchen table. And next thing I know, the pintos would get cold and Daddy'd be praising God. He'd forget all about it. Hey, what happened to praising God at the house? I told you before, I got problems with somebody. The only time they worship God is at the church. If you don't praise God at the house, there's no way. It's impossible to do it here if you don't do it at home. If you do it here and not at the house, then you're probably a fake. And I don't mean that rude. I'm just being honest with you. Hey, God lets us, the best times I've ever had was in my garage by myself. Hey, and I long for the times when I can crawl in there. It ain't every time, Brother Jeremy, I can reach Him and praise Him. But those few times when I get in there and God gets a hold of me and lets me praise Him, hey, I can't wait to go back and get a hold of Him again. We need to praise God. We get so caught up in things. And I thought, I wonder. And if you'll let me, please, I'm not taking the scripture out of context, but if you'll let me, I want to explain some reasons why them nine may not have come back and worshiped Him. I thought a lot of times, one of maybe a couple of them had something else on their mind. They wanted, because see, with leprosy, they couldn't be around family. They had to declare unclean all the time. I wonder if they were distracted and forgot about what had just happened. And they ran and said, hey, I want to do this and I want to do that and I want to do this. And a lot of times we get our minds so cluttered with things that when we come in the house of God and God goes to moving, we can't even feel Him impress upon us to testify and to praise Him. And I thought, this is, for some people, this is the worst time of the year to have revival meeting because March Madness is going on. And a lot of people, and I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to harp on it. I love basketball just as much as the next person does. And I hope I don't offend you, but I'm a Carolina Tar Heels fan. But a lot of people, what they come in church and that's all they have on their minds is that basketball game. That is all that they care about. And they'll come in and they'll go over to the brother. Me and Brother Jeremy were actually talking about it this morning, I believe. And a lot of times they'll go over to the brother and they'll get to talking about the game or they'll talk about the race that's fixing to happen. And they even neglect it. They forget almost that we're in the house of God and we come here to worship God. Ain't that why God saved us?
Yes.
To praise Him?
Yes,
He saved us to praise Him.
Right.
And to worship Him. All that other stuff is benefits.
Right.
He didn't save you so that He could bless you. He saved you to praise Him.
That's right.
That's the reason God saved us. That's what we ought to do. Is praise God. If God saved you, you have everything to be thankful for. You got all kinds of stuff. You ought to be thankful and you ought to praise God for the man of God that He has sent by your way. It's not everywhere. I've been blessed to preach at a lot of churches and I've told you, it's not everywhere you go that you see a man of God like Brother Joel. And I told y'all Sunday night, the reason I love him so much is he's not changed a lick since I was little. He's been the same man that he always has been. And he loves God more than he ever did. Hey, I love that about this man of God. And he knows what's right and he wants what's right. And I want to tell you something. You ought to get around your preacher and love him up and thank God for him. Because it's not everywhere you go you got a man like that. Some of you men, and I don't know why, Brother Joel, but God's just laying this on my heart and I'm going to try my best to follow Him. Some of you men ought to praise God for the good wife that God's given you. Sometimes we men get so caught up in our toys and our hobbies and things that we... I'll tell you, I love deer hunting. If you ask my wife, I love it. When deer season comes around, Brother Joel, I want to go all the time. Especially since I moved to Kentucky. Because Kentucky's got twice the deer we have here. And they're 10 times bigger than what I've ever seen down here. And I'm like, man, I can kill a monster this year. And I love it so much. And me and my wife, I tell my wife all the time, I've started getting her into deer hunting. I'm going to buy her a bow this year so she'll go bow hunting with me so I ain't going by myself. And I love my wife. And when I go out, and a lot of times when I'm sitting in a tree stand, I'm thinking about her. And I'll even text her while I'm deer hunting. I wonder. I was sitting down texting one time. A big old buck walked underneath me and I missed him because I had my phone in my hand and wasn't able to get a hold of him. And I told my wife, I said, I'm thankful for you. And sometimes men get so caught up in their hobbies that they neglect and they forget what God gives them and what a good wife God has given them. I thank God for my wife. I thank God for a woman that has stood by me. I want to say that God's called me to preach and that woman right there is just as important as I am in this thing, Brother Joe, your wife is just as important as you are. And a lot of times we push them off to the back burner and say they're not as important and leave them with the kids. And I thank God for a wife that'll sit back yonder and wrestle with my youngins so that I can try to get up here and worship God and do the things that God wants me to. And some of you men ought to hug your wife up and thank God for her because God's been good to you. You could have been given a wife that won't go to church with you. That bucks against everything that you do. You ought to thank God for what God give you. Thank God for the preacher that He give you. Thank God for the family. You ought to thank God most of all for saving your soul. And for Him dying upon the cross. We have some. If you ever get in such a shape where you're like, I just don't know if I can praise Him. The shape I'm in, the valley that I'm in, how can I praise God? All of y'all know Brother Bob Garrett. I believe everybody here knows Brother Bob Garrett. He passed away. And I preached a message similar to this. And his daughter stood up and testified after I got done. She said, when Daddy had taken his last breath, she said, I walked down. She said, I was thinking in my heart, Lord, how in the world am I supposed to praise You? I'm hurting so bad. And I know that everything happens for a reason and we're supposed to praise You. But how am I supposed to? She said, I walked down and there were probably 50 or more Hispanics in the waiting room. And she told them that Dad had just passed away. She said they all were crying and they lifted up their voice. I believe they started singing Victory in Jesus in the waiting room. And she said, I got to weep and cry. She said, I felt something to thank God for. Hey, even when you're in your toughest valley, there is something to praise God for. And we need to thank Him and praise Him for being good to us. God's been good to us, so we need to praise Him for everything that He's done. I'm thankful that I've been born again. I'm glad that this thing's real. I'm glad I've got something to shout about and I can go out here. We ought to be the ones leaping and running around and praising God for saving a wretch like us. I thank God for saving me. I'm thankful I've been born again. Brother Joel, I believe that's all God's got upon my heart. You come on, Brother Joel. Whatever you want to do.